This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's September 13th, episode 2268, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week on Horses in the Morning.
Coming up on today's Freestyle Friday edition, Stanford Moore is going to stop by and talk about Black Reins Magazine, which he just happened to be the founder of, and Really Bad Ads hits the ground at a dead gallop and continues on with several self-congratulatory bucks. And finally, happy National Blame Someone Else Day. So do that.
It's all Jamie's fault.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's all Glenn's fault. Hey, there's that super huge news story about Justify Out right now, and it is a New York Times article written by a guy that decided to, I don't know. It just
now
seems to like.
The one that won the Kentucky Derby, right?
He won the Triple Crown.
Triple Crown, right.
Okay. And so what he, last year.
Wasn't this last year?
Yeah. So it's very strange. So basically what happened is Justify failed a drug test after the Santa Anita Derby, which would technically have disqualified him to run in the Kentucky Derby. And so that's what the news story is saying. So he shouldn't have won the Triple Crown. To me, this all smells of all that horse racing PETA nonsense that's going on. Now, the thing is, the kind of questions in the air is it's the drug that they found in his system, supposedly. This is all kind of like, but it's just so far away, so long ago. Scopolamine. And scopolamine is a medication that is used to enhanced performance, but it's kind of a diuretic type drug, and it's supposed to like enhances the performance. Well, they found an amount in his system, but the problem is that scopolamine is found in a weed which grows wildly in California, and they're thinking that it's in Jimson weed, and it's a weed they see in California, and they think that maybe what they said was that it was in his feed and it was tainted. So I don't know what I mean. He was completely clear. His drug tests completely clear in the Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont. And to me, he wasn't a superstar before he won the Triple Crown. So I don't know why they would have said, oh, you know what, Bob Baffert, you go ahead and run your horse. We won't tell anybody. Because he wasn't super famous back then.
He was just another horse. Another two-year-old running in races. Yeah.
Yeah. He was three. It kind of seems a little sketchy to me. And they've kind of said, the board, and based on the executive director's recommendation, this is from one of the guys that's in the racing commission, they made the correct and appropriate and gutsy decision to dismiss the case. So they dismissed the case, and then the horse went on to win the Triple Crown. And now 2 years later, this information is coming out. It just smells sketchy. Anyway, so that's the kind of the story, Glenn, what's going
on. Okay,
Glenn,
I saw the headlines. I did not even look into it. It was like, ugh.
Well, it just seems like if it was, oh, he tested positive after the Preakness and they let him run in the Belmont, I could see where you'd be like, there's something sketchy going on. But he wasn't even a Triple Crown winner back then. Mm. So I don't know why they would have. It just stinks. It just, the whole thing stinks. And it's a New York Times writer. And the only person who's kind of written an article about it is that guy from the New York Times. So it just seems sketchy. And I just didn't feel like we needed to address it in any other way other than deliver the facts. So hopefully I did that. I don't know.
Good.
I don't know. Well, so moving on.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to auditors Robin Kane and Bailey Smith. It's their birthdays over the weekend. Happy birthday to both of you. It's always fun when I see the auditors post on the auditor page after they go, I forgot I was going to get a daily Winnie. It's always so exciting. Aww. And we're going to talk about more auditor benefits and benefits of becoming an auditor here in a second.
Well, staying in the racing vein, we talked Wednesday about a horse that sold for an awful lot of money at Keeneland in the sales, and they topped it. They topped it. Mandy Pope has now purchased, because the horse that was sold for $4.3 million was bought by the Sheik. Well, guess what? Mandy Pope outbid the Sheik. If that seems possible, he can get outbid, Glenn, because $8.2 million was the purchase for a filly sired by American Pharoah, Beholder's half-sister. So basically, by American Pharoah, out of the same mare as Beholder, so they're half-sisters.
Are you surprised that a mare went for that much?
No, because Mandy Pope spends money on race mares and brood mares and successful, like, I guess you just really like this horse. So I started doing a little bit of research on Mandy Pope and some of the horses that she's bought. Now, if you recall, she also, that name sounds familiar because she bought Plum Pretty, who won the Oaks for $4.2 million. She spent $3.1 million on Groupie Doll, who won the Breeders' Cup. And then she spent $5.2 million on Better, 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 who was a high-class stakes race mare. And then $10 million on Havre de Grace, which was the horse of the year. So she collects amazing brood mares. And you're like, who is Mandy Pope?
Yeah, where did that money come from?
So they own like 500 stores, but like dollar stores, but not Dollar General or anything like that. They own all the stores that are called Pope's, Eagles, Super Dollar, Bill's Dollar Stores, and Super 10. Have you heard of any of those stores?
No.
That's because they are in towns in the southeast of under 2,500 people. So they're kind of like the local Walmart. And I guess her dad started Variety Wholesalers. And so
there's money in selling cheap stuff.
Yes, there is. I think they made like $500 million last year or something stupid. I mean, it's crazy. So he put these stores, basically a store would be failing and he would buy it and fix it up and make money. And so they own like over 500 stores, and they're stores that will not even compete with Walmart in locations. They're very, very small rural towns.
Probably the only thing in this town, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And then from what I've been reading, like he wouldn't even like update the stores for 20 years. It's just, he just wouldn't dump any money into the stores at all. So he didn't even want to be competitive with like Dollar General. So these are even smaller than Family Dollar and Dollar General. So apparently it's good to own a dollar store. And that just goes to show you, when you buy things at the dollar store, they're overpriced. That was what I took away from it. Like, wow, you get it. And Mandy Pope's thing is like, she inherited the business and she's done really well with it. But her theory is, whereas her dad was super tight, she's like, meh, can't take it with you.
Can't take it with you. Heck with my kids. I'm spending it now.
Yep. Bye. $8 million for a horse. No problem. So congratulations to Mandy Pope for purchasing Beholder's half sister for $8.2 million.
Whispering Hills down here, isn't it? I don't know, Jennifer, isn't that down here, her farm, Whispering Hill Farm?
She lives in Florida.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Somewhere in Florida.
And she races all over the country, and she's got places all over the country, of course. But yeah, so there you go. 8.2 okay. million, that's who Mandy Pope is.
All right, I got a couple of housekeeping things to take care of before we get to our first guest. And the first thing is that we have a new benefit of becoming an auditor. We're going to start doing some exclusive content for auditors. And one of the first things that we're doing, I'm calling it the Barnside Chat. And that's where I just get together with people that I find fascinating in the horse world. And we do a Facebook Live in the auditor room. We just sit down and chat and have a good time. And we play some drinking games. And we talk serious for a while, talk not so serious for a while. And the first one I did last night, and it's available right now in the auditor room, I pinned it to the top if you want to find it. And that was with Max Cochran, who is host of the Eventing Radio Show and also president-elect of the United States Eventing Association. So she talked about what her hopes and dreams are for running the United States Eventing Association. She's kind of going to be the big boss. And she talked about how shocked she was to actually be asked in the first place. So she had some very funny lines, and Max is always very entertaining, and we just had a great time. You'll learn what her favorite drink is, and along with several other things from her childhood. So it just was a fun thing to do. It was very relaxed. It's kind of inside the actor's studio-like, and we had her answer those questions at the end, too. So it was a lot of fun. We're going to do those on a fairly regular basis in the auditor room, and we have some other auditor content that's going to be coming, too. So if you want to become an auditor, you can do that for as little as $1 a month. I would say if you're planning on doing that, do it now. And if you want to come in at the dollar level, because we're going to be raising that minimum here to probably $3 a month. I know, huge raise there. But that's going to be happening over the next month or so. So get in now if you want it at $1 a month and become an auditor. Join the 400 people that are in that room. And believe me, Jamie will testify to this. They talk about everything and anything, but it's always very positive and upbeat.
When he says auditor room, that is a place on Facebook,
yes,
just so you know.
It's a Facebook, that's a private Facebook room for auditors.
It's where we get a lot of content, by the way, because I have realized that
later in the show.
We're going to have some content coming directly from the auditors later, because we talked on Wednesday about some of the quirky things that horse people do, being that I said that I won't put a helmet on the ground because it's just bad luck for your helmet to get to know the ground. I don't want my helmet to know the ground. And then, not wearing white breeches when you're running cross country, because then you're just going to get wet and muddy. You're going to end up in a water jump. So I thought I can't be the only one who has quirks, and I'm not alone in the weirdness. So we are going to highlight some more of our auditor's craziness, and you can be a part of it too.
Another thing that's coming up the week of the 23rd, and this is leading up to International Podcast Day on the 30th. We've covered International Podcast Day since it started, I think, probably 4 or 5 years ago. International Podcast Day on the 30th is a day to really celebrate podcasts, to get out there, to promote the podcast that you like, to educate people about podcasts. We have to do that less now than we did in the past, but there's still some education needed. We still run into people every day who don't know what a podcast is. So in the week before that, leading up to the 30th, we're doing what we're calling Share the Pod Week. And all week, we're going to be really talking to our listeners that week on Horses in the Morning. Some auditors are going to come on the show. We're going to encourage you to share this show and the ones you like from the Horse Radio Network, or any podcast for that matter. Share it on social media. I'm going to be making banners for everybody. For every show, I'm going to make a banner that says I love, and it's going to have the show logo, and it's going to tell people at the bottom how to find the show. So you can use those banners on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you want to use them to help you promote the show. There was a lot of people in the auditor room going, how do we promote? We're also going to get business cards made. A lot of people are saying we're at the barn and we want to hand them something. So we're going to get business cards made that auditors will be able to just let me know, and we'll ship them out to them that they can hand out, that will tell people how to subscribe and how to listen to a podcast. So we're really going to be putting a push on to, improve the listenership and really get it up there. So Share the Pod Week is coming up the week of the 23rd. One other note for the Horse Radio Network is the Horse Nutrition Podcast is back with its second season. And of course, that's the one done by Purina. This time we had host Lisa Wysocki took over as host for season 2, and they're really highlighting some extraordinary horses and some horses that do extraordinary things. So the first episode is out. You'll find it on your podcast players underneath the Horse Nutrition Podcast. It's also in our app. And they started at the Vince Aramis Therapeutic Riding Center talking about a specific horse that has done amazing things there and was ridden by by several Olympians that became a therapy horse. It was a really fascinating story. And those of you that have heard Lisa Wysocki on this show know she's a good storyteller. I mean, she's an award-winning author, so she knows how to tell stories. And we put a lot of work into these episodes. It's taken us almost 4 or 5 months to get the first episodes out because there's been a lot of research and a lot of work put into them, and I think you're going to love them. So go to the Horse Nutrition Podcast and download the first one of season two, episode one, the Vince Remus Therapeutic Riding Center. So I think that's all the news I have from the Horse Radio Network at this point.
Well, cool. We're going to talk to our guest in a minute who's driving through Atlanta, so he has to pull over.
Atlanta. Oh, the memories. I do have a very exciting announcement while we're waiting for our guest. Do you remember last week I talked about the Bucks County SPCA and that they had some celebrity residents that were looking for homes? And that was Waffles, the miniature horse, and Hemingway, the goose. And remember, they had to stay together because they got along so well. They were rescued together. They lived in the same stall together. The goose would wrap its neck around Waffles and they would fall asleep together. Well, according to the newspaper, 150 applications poured in for Waffles and Hemingway. No surprise there because it went viral. And they have been now placed in a permanent home. On Wednesday, the shelter reported that both animals had departed for their new forever home. And according to the Inquirer, the pals had been adopted by a Philadelphia area woman who was employed as a vet in a veterinary office and it has a background working with large animals. And there was a very cute video of Waffles walking over to the trailer and leaping in. Because he's a little miniature. He just had no hesitation at all. He just leaped in, and there were all kinds of TV cameras around, so this thing really made the news. But apparently, they both went home together, and they're very happy. So, good news out of Bucks County.
So, 150 people put in adoption applications. And to the other 149 people that put in adoption applications, there is a dog that is for adoption here in Norman, Oklahoma. And you can find her now because she's owned by Infinity Farms Rescue. Her name is Marvel. And I am currently her foster mother. I'm actually a licensed foster mom now, Glenn. Check that out. So the rescue actually...
Do they license people
her.
Who fail at it all the time?
I have not failed at it yet. I just have yet to find her perfect home. And so if you are interested, those other 149, Infinity Farms, check it out. She's on their homepage.
All right, great. Well, our next
on, people. Why do I still have this dog? She's so cute.
She is a cute dog. I've seen pictures of her. I've never met her in person, but I have seen pictures of her. She's very cute. Well, coming up is our first guest, Stanford Moore, who runs and is the founder of Black Reins Magazine. Black Reins is an American publication of African-American cowboy, equestrian, and horseman enthusiasts founded in 2013. Good morning, Stanford.
Good morning.
You know, it's so funny that we just got a note from our producer that you were in Atlanta traffic, and Jamie for 10 years was the Atlanta traffic girl on the radio telling you where it was backed up.
I was. So where are you right now? I'll tell you how to get around it.
I'm actually, there's no way to get around this. I'm headed into downtown on 75 North. So
you're screwed.
Well, I mean, you could take Highway 41 Cobb Parkway. It does run adjacent to 75. It was the 75 before 75 was there. But there's usually a lot of backup on that if 75 North heading up to the perimeter of 285 is a little backed up. Then you've also got the addition of airport traffic. So you're kind of screwed.
Can you tell she used to do traffic for a long time, Stanford?
I can definitely tell.
So where did the inspiration for this magazine come from?
Well, to tell you a little bit about my background, I grew up on a small farm. It was a 700-acre farm in Ahoskie, North Carolina. I don't know if you know where that is. It's northeastern North Carolina. And I didn't go straight to college. I went to the Army and played basketball, went to Desert Storm. I grew up with all kind of livestock, hogs, cows, and we had horses also and some mules. But I'm a country boy at heart, and I joined the Army, got out, went to college, and, you know, aeroscience background, electrical engineering. I'm working in corporate America, And I met my wife at North Carolina Central University, and we fell in love, got married, and her uncle happened to have a 200-acre quarter horse thoroughbred breeding farm, and he was racing horses out of Florida, West Virginia, Texas, Louisiana, and I just fell in love with it. I was missing that country background and started helping out on the farm, and he was kind of grooming me to be a farm manager, and I spent 17 years out there, you know, running horses back and forth and just learning the ins and outs of horse breeding, but I was had my blinders on to horse racing and never knew anything else outside of that, all the rodeo and all this other stuff. And my parents passed away, and my wife kept begging me, I want to raise our kids closer to my parents. Your parents have passed away, and now I want to move back to Atlanta to be closer to my parents so my kids can, they could be around and watch my kids grow up. And so after 2 years of begging, I went, and we moved, and she moved ahead of me. But I was with her, and we were staying with her sister at the time until we found a place. And I was driving down the street, and I seen about 20 young kids coming up and down the street. They were coming down the street. I mean, they had sneakers on, hats backwards, and just having a good time as kids. I mean, we're talking 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And I pulled over and I said, "Hey, where are you guys coming from?" And they were like, "Hey, right down the street, there's a barn. And in front of Walmart, there's another barn. And right here on Boulder Crest, that's where we keep our horses." And I said, And I drove to those barns. And I sat around and I became friends with a lot of people at the barn just to be close to the horses and asking them a lot of questions about history and some of the great trainers and equestrians of old. And a lot of them didn't have that background, that knowledge. And it led me to, you know, removing me from the quarter horse and thoroughbred farm, you know, locked in on racing. It allowed me to see a broader spectrum of everything equestrian, everything horseman, everything cowboy. And I started reading and researching and found that there was a lack of information out there when you really dig into it of all the great people that have came before us. You know, it go all the way back to black and white, like Jesse Stahl and Tom Bass, but all the people in between, like the greats, you know, like, I mean, we could just go on naming so many great people that's come along the way in between the years. And I just found that they were blown away about so much information out there. So I created a page with an end in mind. I said, you know what? I went to the tractor supply store and I started going through the magazine racks. And there was a lack of representation of you know, African-Americans. Now, there are a lot of publications on the shelves, but there was just a lack of representation of great African-Americans that I personally knew. And I said, you know what, let's create a platform so we can spotlight and not let that history be lost. Because we think about racing, you know, and African-Americans, they had a big stake in racing in the late 1800s and 1900s. You know, there's a lot of great people there, and it kind of got lost over the years. But I wanted to create a platform so it can inspire a lot of young kids today that, you know, back at one time, you know, we were great, you know, dominating in that industry. And I said, you know, let's put something together so we can now rejuvenate a hunger for our next generation of young kids to show what our past looked like and inspire them to go on and want to go into rodeo or horse racing or training and equestrian, hunter jumper or whatever discipline they choose, but it can inspire a whole new generation and not let it see it. Dissipate.
I'm glad you did that. Actually, we have a producer on the show. Her name is Jemmy, and she's black. And her comment, she's not a horse person at all. She's from the city. And when she first started working with us, and she's learned a lot here hanging out with us, producing our shows. But one of her comments was, do any black people work with horses? Because in her world where she came from, she never knew of any. And it brought up an interesting point. It was like, you know, I don't know what you found, but I think there's actually, we're doing more and more stories and interviewing more and more African-Americans in the sport. Are more getting involved in horses than ever before?
Absolutely. And the beautiful thing about the old time road little movement, it's introducing it to a lot of kids. And I think when you think back at youth, especially youth, a lot of kids would love to have a pony at their birthday party. I mean, it's just a little, it's a childhood dream of most. And, you know, I find that, you know, a lot of kids are inspired by just being around horses. And, you know, I understand where she is, where she's coming from, because you just don't see a lot of African-Americans from a broader spectrum. It's almost like this. I always tell people, unless you buy a motorcycle, you won't recognize there's a whole lot of motorcyclists around.
That's true.
You know, it's one of those things, like when you're in that industry, you notice everything equestrian, but when you're not, you kind of don't pay attention to it. It's around us, but it's not a big focus on it, you know, and I think that's where she is, and that's where a lot of Americans is. It's just not in every community.
Well,
and
you
that's the stigma.
I'm looking, and you guys should talk to Mikhail Proctor, who we had on our show on Monday, because he's an African-American individual championship vaulter. Oh, did you have Mikhail on?
I probably did at one time. I think I saw an article that he was in your magazine. Yes.
Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. I've featured him before. And there's not many that I missed. I catch them all, and it's more and more introduced every day. This is the thing. You know, I always say it's not a black-white thing. I think it's more of a class thing. It's, you know, it's an economic challenge to compete in any horse discipline.
For anybody.
I mean, it is. It's financially, it's taxing.
Yeah.
It is. And a lot of people say, hey, I got other career choices than mess around with horses. There's like a hole in your pocket. It's just pulling money out. And so I think it's not a white-black thing. I think even as the sport, as we kind of African-Americans kind of faded away from the sport over the years, I think financially it took a toll and people just took other career choices. So to rejuvenate that and introduce that to a lot of people that just didn't know horses can be affordable, to get them more involved, that's what I'm trying to reintroduce. I'm trying to rebrand it and say, hey, it is affordable. It is a pastime that can give you so much peace and so rewarding for a lot of young kids today. And a lot of people just didn't know it was there. So, you know, that's one of my goals, is to kind of introduce and show, you know, if you look at kids across the country, whether they're riding mini bulls to hunter jumper, they find themselves like one or two only African-Americans within their division or within the area that they compete. But collectively, I've kind of put back reins as and created a social media group where you can now, young kids can see other kids like themselves and not feel so alone. It's so rewarding to kind of see that there's other kids of color competing, maybe in a county over or a state over, that you can now connect with. And it's so inspiring. When I started Black Reins Magazine, I created a parent group. Because what I found was, from the age of 5 to right about 12, right when kids go into being teenagers, they kind of lose interest in it. And the parents were struggling, because here they are, some single parent, some two-parent households, were financially giving their all to keep their kids involved, because they once had such a passion in it that now that they're going into the preteen and boys and dating and all that stuff started to kick it in, and they started just losing interest. And a lot of it was because they weren't seeing themselves to have someone that they can communicate with and relate with. So with that challenge in itself, that I found that a lot of parents were frustrated. So I created a group called Nationally to put parents of color on a phone to say, hey, let's vent. Let's talk about some of the challenges and how you overcome when your kid didn't want to ride anymore. They were getting frustrated because they thought they were treated a little differently. That's why I did that. And I thought Black Reins was so important, because now I have a larger following, and a lot of parents inbox us and said, thank you. My daughter loves seeing the page, because she's now made friends, social media friends, with other kids and other parents across the country that they can relate to, and they share photos, and it's really inspiring from that sense. You know, I think it's a big deal for the next generation.
To Stanford, I'm sorry, Glenn. I just think, too, what you're doing is, you know, I'm a parent of a six-year-old boy. And what you're doing is you're encouraging people to read and read their history. And I think that's so important. Yeah, just something that is going to be close to them and near and dear to their heart. And they learn they're not alone. And they're also learning and reading and educating themselves about their history. That's awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's merging. It's merging us all. I think, you know, the lack of information out there was why most people just didn't know. You know, I read a lot of blogs online across the country, and I mean, a lot of other races say, well, I didn't know black people rode horses. It's like, are you serious? There's a lot of us. But they just didn't know. It's when it's not to the forefront, and it's not, you know, there's no documentation out there, no representation, you just don't know. But there's a lot of us that actually do ride and compete on a high level.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of opportunities as a farm owner that I would love to have kids come in here and learn because I feel like education breeds interest. And if you provide that education and you're giving it to them right then they're going to continue to want to see more. Like you said, it all of a sudden you see, you know, you buy a motorcycle and you see all these motorcycles all of a sudden. You get the kids involved in horses, and then all of a sudden there's horses everywhere. So I do think that is important. And I think there are a lot of opportunities if people go out and just look around. There's so many volunteer opportunities at so many farms.
Did you, Jamie, you worked in Lexington. Didn't you work with the Mustangs and the underprivileged kids program there?
I did. I worked with the Mustangs and the inner city children of Lexington and Georgetown, and we brought the kids out and they got to learn how to be around. I mean, they started out with our horse would poop and they were all like, oh my God. And then by the end where we took all of the kids and they rode in the inaugural parade, the second inauguration for Bill Clinton. And so we were all there representing horses and young inner city children that had never had that opportunity. Also, I'm certified in the lead up, which is bringing at risk youth to horses and teaching them how to do join-ups and teaching. It's so important to get these kids involved. So what you're doing is awesome. I'm so thrilled.
And thank you so much. That's what it's all about. It's really the horse unifies us. And another thing that I felt, you know, even when I created this, is a lot of people don't realize I tie farm and ranch into it too, in health and wealth. I always say, you know, we are what we put in our bodies. And so I'm passionate about saving our farms around the country and getting people outside, planting their own gardens and putting their hands in the dirt. And so all things outside, whether it's the horse, whether it's getting involved in some type of farm or youth activity, that's what we're about. And it's really getting kids outside. I have two boys. I have three boys, but I have two younger boys that are still at home. And I'm all about encouraging them to do. We do camping trips. We do planting gardens. I just want them outside and knowing where your food comes from. Allowing horses to get their friends out and just to touch and clean stalls and just really getting kids active. And that's my part. And that's one of the passions that I have, even about Black Reins. It's just using that one area to really encourage a whole new generation to get out, learn earth and take walks and breathe and knowing where your food comes from.
Put the damn tablet down. Things. God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
You know, Stanford, you know, if only more kids had dads like you, you know, that's kind of a big part of it, too.
I two things.
Yeah,
it's funny you said that because one of the things Jemmy also said is that we were talking about hiking the Appalachian Trail and she's like, oh, we don't hike in the woods.
Yeah, I guess we do.
Yeah, I know. See, that's,
yes, we do.
That's the thing. And I did read the article on Chef Cameron Pollard. You were talking about farms that you did. She's a young Black farmer and a chef. And it was a fascinating article. And everything I read, you know, it's funny because everything I read that you write about the experience, you know, of color dealing with all of these things, really on a larger scale is we're all dealing with these things. You know, it's
You know, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
go ahead.
You know, and it is what unifies us. The horse unifies us, but also farming unifies us. And because we're all dealing with the same things, it's just, I'm glad that you're highlighting this and I'm glad you're doing it. You can find
it. Yeah. You know what? White teenagers start to find boys instead of horses too. So it's
absolutely.
BlackReins.com is the name of the magazine. You also have Black Reins TV. You can find it on there as well. Go over, subscribe to it, check it out. It is well worth, I got sucked in this morning reading several articles, so it definitely works.
Go to our social media.
Okay.
But go to facebook.com/BlackReins and Instagram. That's where all the party is. That's where the activity, you'll see people from around the country and around the world. We're in maybe 15 different countries that are highly involved on the page. So socially, it's a welcoming place, not just for African Americans. Most people don't realize my Black Reins following is probably 70% white, not black. So it's a fun page that we're all learning about history that it just didn't know that existed across the country. So we're excited.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. And keep in touch, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Good luck on that traffic. I don't know. It's Atlanta. What can we say?
Nobody's ever on 675. Head north on that.
Thanks,
right.
Stanford.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
All right. Have a good evening.
Bye.
God, we have to make that drive in 2 weeks through Atlanta. It's just...
I still have nightmares about being a traffic reporter there.
It's just awful. There's just no good way. What a neat guy. What an articulate guy. And it is really cool, the articles he has on there. It really is neat. So, well done. All right, let's take a listen to Kentucky Performance Products, and then we're going to come back and listen to some of our listener quirks. Just a minute.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
All right, so you have
these ads
this
always
list.
Get me.
I know.
Okay, sorry.
Are you a little emotional now?
Okay, I'm good now. I'm good. So yeah, so like I said on Wednesday, we talked about some of the quirks that are associated with this crazy horse people, and so I've reached out to the auditors on the auditor page of like, what are some of your quirks? And y'all did not disappoint as usual. I'll try to get through as many as I can because there was 105 comments so far on this post. Let's start. I did some of you guys on Wednesday. So if you don't hear yourself, you can go back and listen then if you don't hear yours. Joy says, I always pick feet in a certain order, starting with the front left. She says it feels weird to start on the right. So I guess front left, left hind. And then do you go right front or right hind next? I don't know. I mean, it's very confusing. So, yes,
you
same
know,
one.
Scooter knows which direction I go, so he's always picking up ahead of time. And now I've started mixing it up just to confuse him.
What a good boy. What a good boy. You're messing him up. Katie says, I always loosen the cinch as soon as I'm done riding and off my horse. It's my little thank you to them. And I wrote, oh, my God, I do the same. And I roll my stirrups. And Jennifer's like, that's not quirky. That's good horsemanship. So...
Yeah.
You should loosen the girth and roll your stirrups when you're done.
Yeah, that's not quirky. I thought that was the way everybody did it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And dismount in different places. Do not ride back to the barn every single time. You are creating a barn sour horse. So I dismount Baby Groot everywhere. He'll jump a jump and I'll get off. Like, good dub, we're done. Betty says
that's something as drivers that we can't do. We kind of have to be you know, in a place where you can...
Isn't there like a loosen the girth option on driving?
No, I meant dismount anywhere. Because especially if you're alone and nobody's in the front, it's never a good idea.
Okay, well, don't listen to me for drivers. Betty says that after riding, when the bridle comes off, she massages their mouth with a towel and their entire head, and then she spritzes the bit with mint infused water. Listen.
Well, isn't that foo-foo?
You're just putting us to shame over here. Brenna says, I give my horse a treat or a carrot when I get off after riding, even when the whole ride goes to poop.
You're
going to
tell me,
emoji.
Hold on. She probably grows the mint, too.
Of course she grows the mint.
And it's a special kind of mint. Yes.
It's probably Italian parsley mint or something. I don't know.
Sorry, go ahead.
Erica says, I always brush out my horse's mane before I scrape them after a bath. That way there aren't any marks in their fresh, shiny coat. Okay. See, quirks. Ridiculous.
That's a quirk.
Lisa Lipke, I had a student's mother do this and would only bring organic varieties. I pre-cut apples and carrots, and if I don't have a chance to pre-cut them, then I bite off the pieces for him, one at a time. I told the mom, I was like, you don't have to like core the apples. She was de-seeding the apples before she was giving them to the horses. I'm like, they don't care. Lisa also says that she measures blanket strap length to make sure that they're equal. Like, you need more horses because then you just throw them on. You don't care. Chelsea says, when I purchase a new horse, I do not change their barn name. To me, it is bad luck. So I have a theory about changing the barn name. And this is, I did
a lot
start
of people
letting.
People believe that, by the way.
I know. And I'm going to give you guys my theory. Now, granted, I did go through a phase where I let Chad name all the horses so he would like them, hence the Duke. But the rest of the horses, if I get them from a bad situation, then they get a new name. Because horses that have come from bad situations, it's like a fresh start. And I think they should have a fresh name. I think they'll appreciate it. Remember that old man who abused him that called him Blue, and then you name him Blue because his name is Blue and he's going to associate Blue with that bad guy. That was her example, by the way. Let's see. There was a lot of people that says they don't change names. But again, consider where they came from or let your husband pick names. They'll like the horse better. Chantel, she says, when she walks in the barn, she always yells, good morning, ladies. Diane says, I clean my bridles and saddles before I go away, so I have clean tack when I come home. If I went away more often, I'd have clean tack more often. Same. I clean my tack before a show. That's terrible. Katie says, I never ride under a ladder. I did that once as a kid, and later that day, the horse fell on me. Weren't you not supposed to go under ladders anyway? Isn't it bad luck to go under ladders?
Yeah, it's bad luck to walk under a ladder, especially when there's a black cat around. So,
how small is your horse?
I know, that's what I was thinking. Or is it a really tall ladder? I don't know which.
I was riding my miniature. Hillary says, my quirks are no buckle left undone, no snap left unsnapped, and for goodness sake, no halters on the ground ever.
Well, she's in good company because that was one of Max's pet peeves last night on the little video we did. She hates halters that are undone and not tucked in or the ends hanging out.
She says the other one is that she never, and I never thought of this, never braid the forelock of the horse the night before the competition. She just said, as a kid, I was told it gives horses a headache, superstition or not. It's now my rule. You know what else I started thinking is, you know, horses rub their braids out. That would suck if you walked in, there's like no forelock anymore because they rubbed their forelock braid out because they had a headache.
Yeah. Scooter, by the end of summer, there's no forelock at all. It's completely gone. It grows back by the beginning of next summer, and then he rubs it out.
Don't braid him. It'll be gone in a minute. Haley says, I kiss my horse's face and hug his neck after every ride. I do make my students say thank you to the horse after a ride. Loreen, I always brush out the knots of my horse's tail before every ride.
That would take me an hour.
I don't do that. Kayla says, I always take off all my fly gear when they're in their stalls and the bell boots. I have this weird thing that they need to be as comfortable as possible in their stalls, since it's not like 100% natural to be in their stalls. But aren't there flies in the stall?
I was just going to say, comfortable in which way, right? I mean, are they more comfortable being bitten by flies or having their fly sheet on? I don't know.
She just thinks they need to be buck naked. Like Lucas running around the farm.
Lucas has got to cut that out. He's almost 7.
Oh my God. Did I tell you what he did the other day? After a rainstorm, he goes outside completely naked, covered himself completely in mud, and laid flat down on the ground and decided he had disappeared.
He's camouflaged. He's mudiflaged.
He was completely covered in my photographs, but I will get arrested.
Yeah, you can't post those anymore. You used to. It's cute when they're 2. It gets creepy when they're 7.
Susan says, never allow your reins to touch the ground. Ever. I never heard that. But yeah, I mean, that's a disaster waiting to happen, obviously. Kayla says, another Kayla, I always have to yell my horse's name when I'm driving up the driveway so he hears me and sticks his head out to wait for me. Aw. And Mary kind of on that same vein, she says, when I call my horses in to feed, I yell, Horties, in a loud operatic voice, and when I leave the ranch, I yell out my window, goodbye babies, make good decisions.
Make good decisions. All right, we have time for one more.
Oh no, let's see. Oh, Michaela, stop doing this. I wake up sleeping horses in the pasture because she has so much anxiety because like she thinks they're dead. Yeah, that's don't
let
do
them
that.
Sleep.
I know. I'm guilty of that too. I'll be like, hey. In a minute. Hello. And I just want an ear twitch. I don't mean to get you up.
It's hard, especially if they've been down for a while. If you look out and an hour later, they're still laying there, then it gets concerning. I
thought this one was funny. The last one. Mary Schmidt says, I always thank my horses after I get off from a ride. But then she goes on to say, I make sure I look straight into their eyes when I do it. I take off the bridle and unbuckle the breast collar so they can eat. And but looking a horse straight in the eyes is actually a very
dominant. Yeah, I was just gonna say you're scaring them to death.
You're telling them to go away.
Yeah, you're telling them I'm mad at you. We're gonna have trouble here shortly.
Thank you for the ride.
It's run like away. You never looked the bully in the eye at high school because
exactly. Predator never looks the prey in the eye before they attack. I mean, so careful with that. Yeah. But anyway, there's so many more, and y'all are awesome. And thank you for sharing your quirks, whether or not you thought I was going to read them on the air or not.
All right, we're going to go to Tammy Sorrance now. Longtime listeners of the Horse Radio Network will know that name. She was host of the Western Radio Show with Alan for a long time, and she's been on the show numerous times after she got her gig with Road to the Horse.
Hello.
And there she is. Hi, Tammy.
Hey.
So you got Jamie and I. We're on the air. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Hi, Tammy.
Hello. I feel like it's like old family.
I know. I was just saying, long-time listeners, old-timers will remember who you are.
Yes, yes. And funny enough, I work with Alan as part of the, you know, NBHA event. So, it's kind of like some big Venn diagram, you know, everything's intertwined.
And Tammy also works with one of my best friends in the whole wide world, my BFF, who I did this job way before I met her, is your designer for all the Road to the Horse stuff.
Yes, yes. Jen does a phenomenal job. Yeah, like the horse world is so small.
Jen Chapman Creative.
Hey, Tammy, are you talking directly into the phone or on a speaker or something? Because
Nope, I'm in the phone.
Okay. All right, you're just a little quiet. So talk with your outdoor voice. So Tammy, how are things going at Road to the Horse? Now, you have there are actually new bosses over there.
We do. Road to the Horse is part of Morris Communication now, which is the Western Horseman Quarter Horse News Group. And it's been phenomenal, Glenn. You know, I'm not one that likes change, but this has been wonderful. It really, really has. I've really enjoyed it. We've got a lot of new faces coming back for 2020 at Road to the Horse. So it's just a super exciting time for Road to the Horse.
And of course, you were kind enough to give away some tickets, and we're going to pick the winner of that here in a minute. But can you give us an idea of who is coming back to compete?
Yes. Everyone may be aware that Wade Black, he won the wild card last year. So he kind of automatically got put into the main competition for winning the wild card. And I must say, Glenn, I was extremely impressed with Wade Black. He was a magician. He was just like, he was one of them. You know, he just walked into the round pen so relaxed, so calmly, and I was very impressed with Wade Black. So Wade's coming. And then we have a couple of past competitors that have been at least 10 years since they came back, and that's Craig Cameron and Ken McNabb. So they are our main competitors. So that's going to be really exciting to have those guys back. And then for the wild card, we have Wylene Davis, the extreme Wylene from the Mustang group. And we also have Craig Moore and Cole Cameron. Craig Cameron's son's coming in for the wild card. So it's a full house.
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you guys are doing the same format you did last year. So you're going to have the main competition and the wild cards competing all at the same time. So there's much more to watch.
Yes. Yeah. Like the morning's going to be for the wild cards, going to get them through one horse, one competitor. And then for the main competition, same thing, one horse, one competitor. So we're just trying to let them really focus on one horse this year and or next year, 2020, and kind of take it back to the basics for Road to the Horse. So that's going to be pretty neat.
And I see you guys have finally given Vicki Wilson a year off, so she doesn't have to come up and travel 4,000 miles this year.
Yeah, Davis is going to represent the Cowgirls, and she is, I don't know if you've met her, Glenn, she is a barrel of fun. I went to photograph her a couple of weeks ago at Craig Cameron's and just had the best time. So I'm more excited.
I think I've met her once or twice at various places, and if I remember correctly, she's the one that she never stops smiling, like, all the time.
Oh, yes, I know, and I keep posting photos of her on our Facebook page, and I'm like, me, I should really, like, share the love, but I have so many good photos of her because she's always smiling. So, yes, I found the same thing. Great girl. Good energy.
And this is next year. It is going to be from March 19th to the 22nd. And people have been submitting really bad ads all month. And everybody that submitted an ad is entered into this. I have a big, long spreadsheet. Jennifer had to bail out on us. I have a big, long spreadsheet. So, and if you submitted an ad where you read the ad and sent us a sound file, you got double the entries. So we're talking, this is a $250 value here for two tickets to Road to the Horse. Now, we're not paying your travel. You're on your own. You got to get there yourself. But but look, we're giving you the tickets.
That's
right. But it's 3 days worth of entertainment, knowledge, and education, and a lot of fun, too. And shopping. Let's not forget shopping. So,
I know.
Are you ready to pick a winner?
You know, I've actually, you mentioned that I would be picking this winner a couple of days ago, Glenn, and I've been nervous about it.
Well, it's not hard. I'll tell
picking
you what.
Picking a number.
Yeah, you're picking a number. So you have to pick a number between 1 and 286.
Can I pick number 4?
That is my favorite number in the whole world, by the way. All right, let me go to the spreadsheet here.
I picked number 4 because, you know, my Hanson's, my little horse's baby sister, she just turned 4.
Okay. That is my favorite number in the whole world. And you just made Nancy Paws. I think it's Paws, P-A-U-S-E. Nancy Paws, very happy because she just won two tickets to Road to the Horse. Good for her.
Woo-hoo.
Well done, Nancy. And the nice thing about getting tickets for Road to the Horse is it doesn't matter where you sit in that stadium. The stadium is at the Alltech Arena at the Kentucky Horse Park. There's no bad seats there. It's all good. There's no pillars in your way. There's, you know, it's just a well-built stadium. So now, Nancy, this will cost you money because you're going to have to bring spending money because there's so much shopping there.
Yes, it will. And we have some new entertainers for 2020. We have Bobby Kerr coming in, Glenn. I don't know. Do you know Bobby? He's got that horse that he rides around in the car.
Well, you faded away on us. What was that?
Bobby Kerr, the Mustang entertainer who has the horses that ride in the car.
Oh, yes. He has a big handlebar mustache, yeah. And the horse sits in the car with him. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's coming. He's going to be one of our featured entertainers along with Dan James. So it's going to be a pretty stellar lineup there.
Dan James, who's also a competitor at the TB Makeover. Yeah, he's in
makeover.
My division.
He's competing against Jamie in her division.
Me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jamie.
Right? Oh, jeez.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tammy. It's been good talking to you again.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye, Tammy.
Bye.
Bye.
Sorry about Tammy's sound there. That's what happens on the cell phone sometimes. She probably had an iPhone.
She's usually in the middle of Texas, nowhere, too.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
I love her Australian Texas accent.
I still can't get enough of that. I love talking to her. All right. It is time for talking about something that's going to happen this weekend, and then we're going to go into some really bad ads, and that is National Helmet Awareness Weekend is tomorrow and Sunday. You can get helmets up to 30% off depending on the brand, but our favorite helmets, Ovation Riding, is proud to announce that they're once again a participating brand for Helmet Awareness Weekend, and you can find their helmets are going to be 20% off all Ovation helmets at participating retailers. And, you know, a couple of rules, we go over them a lot, but we're going to say it again. If your helmet, you look at the little date inside your helmet, if it's over 5 years old, you need to replace your helmet. That's the rule, because the foam in there deteriorates over time, and it becomes less and less effective over time. So if your helmet's over 5 years, I got to look at mine. I don't remember what mine were. So look in there. It's probably been a long time since you looked. If it's over 5 years old...
If you're a kid, your child, they outgrow their helmets. Lucas has had an Ovation extra small, small. And
they make them that small?
They do. They make like super kiddie sizes, which is fantastic for your smaller kid. Because as the child grows, they have that little dial in the back that you can open them up and make them bigger and bigger and bigger. And then your child turns six because he's got a giant head like his mama. And now he has to have the small medium. So this is perfect timing to have. It's like Riders for Helmets new. And it's 20% off. So stay with me, everybody. It's like it's free.
Well, and the thing is, they have helmets from every price range, from $50 to $400. So it doesn't matter your price range. They have a helmet to match. And one of the things Ovation's really known for is their colorful helmets. They have very colorful helmets and some very Western-y looking helmets as well. So go to ridersforhelmets.com. You can find a participating retailer. Not all retailers are participating in National Helmet Awareness Weekend. So definitely go there and take a look at which retailers are... And support, if there's a retailer near you, if there's a store near you, make the trip this weekend and buy it local. Get it from a store in your area. So, and they can also fit it. They'll have fitters. Every store is going to have fitters ready. When we went a couple years ago to the Tack Shack up the street from us, there must have been 20 people in there buying helmets. So they really sell thousands of helmets over this weekend. And it's your time to really refresh your helmet and go out and get a new one if you need it. Now it is time for this.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if the talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
It is that time of week when we do really bad ads, when listeners send in their bad ads to us from either Facebook or Craigslist or someplace like that. We just have a little fun with it. It's the last thing we do on a Friday. And we have a sponsor, don't we, Jamie?
We sure do, Glenn, and it is the Pony Place. If you guys have a horse for sale or you are interested in finding a horse, you can check out the Pony Place app. If you want to search for it in your app store, it's all one word, Pony Place. smush it all together. The Pony Place app is the newest way to buy and sell horses and tack in less time. You can create a listing, upload photos, and chat with potential buyers in just minutes. See, that's right, Tank. You tell them. So you get back in the saddle. Available for iOS or Android. Download today in the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And again, smush it all together or go to ponyplace.net. They will contain direct app download links. And it's very new, so be patient with the bugs that may or may not occur. Somebody's knocking at my front door right now. Okay. So, Glenn, you take over. I'll be right back.
All right. So, also, you get a free ad there for 30 days, and you're allowed one photo. If you want to do up to 15 photos and 5 videos and all other kinds of stuff, then you can pay $14.99 for 30 days. So, either way, you can do it free or you can pay, but go to ponyplace.com if you're looking to sell or buy a horse. It's for some really good ads. Well, we have prizes now we're going to announce for the month of September, and we're very happy with our friends at Heels Down Happy Hour and Heels Down Magazine. Patricia and the gang over there are donating three of their packs of their super special soaps. Now, we talked about these a little while back, and Heels Down Happy Hour has come out with their own line of soap, like hand soap, body soap, things like that.
Have them make a soap called My Husband Came Home and Didn't Say Anything and Just Scared the Bejesus Out of Me When I Walked Out.
I'm glad you don't own a gun. So they have six soaps now. What's going to happen is we're going to give away three packs of three. So you'll get to pick which soaps you want, and they'll send you out three of them. We have Barn Drama Detox. We have Upper Level Goals. We have Would Pick Horses Over You. We have Stressed Out Amy. Is it a me?
Amy.
Amateur.
It's a lavender therapy, which relieves stress. That's my favorite one.
You Deserve This Mint and Equestrian Trailer Life. So they have a whole bunch of different soaps, and each soap is $10.99, and they sell the three packs for $30. So you're going to get $30 worth of value by winning this prize by just sending in some ads. They're all handmade. They're all natural. They don't have any chemicals, which is good for people who have sensitive skin, kids in the environment. I've been using mine for my hands that she sent us, and they smell so good too. They are vegan and cruelty-free. They're not tested on animals, and the ingredients are all sustainable and ethical. They're made with olive oil, shea butter, essential oils, and various essences, depending on the scent. So that's what we're giving away. By the way, you can find those if you want to buy them. You just head over to heelsdownmag.com and you'll find them for sale, heelsdownmag.com. If you want to buy your, they make great gifts. These are going to sell like crazy at Christmas time, especially with the names. So head on over there today to buy yours. Really Bad Ads time.
Okay, well, the first ad comes from Jenny, and Jenny sent a Craigslist ad, and the picture is of the lower half of a pony walking in snow. Good photo. The title is Three Horses for Sale. Horse number one, a black mare, about 16 years old, broke to ride, $1,500. World, make a very nice breeding mare. No, she wouldn't. Horse number two, gelding, brown with black trim. I'm assuming that's a bay. Very gentle, but not trained. About 12 years old, $700. Ooh, that's a steal. Horse number three, a Shetland, age unknown.
Because all Shetlands, you don't know the age. That's the way it is with Shetlands.
I think I had one that was like 47. Yeah. A good field or yard pet, $200.
Because you can't catch it. You can't do anything with it. It's just there. It's just Shetland life. thank you, Jenny. That's a t-shirt. It's a Shetland life. Rochelle sent this one in. Pony, $850 in Prairie du Sac. Isn't that like Illinois or Indiana or someplace?
I don't know.
7-year-old gelded pony black with blue eyes. Halter. No punctuation. There is punctuation, but there's no spaces. So let me read this the way it is. 7-year-old gelded pony black with blue eyes, comma, no space. Halter broke, comma, good for farrier, comma, has been saddled and led around with my children on space, period. No space, pickup only. Space. He's great with kids, period. My daughters now want a horse.
Well, there's one right above you. That's a black mare.
Black mare.
$1,500. And that's in Wisconsin.
Yeah, very gentle. All right. Lorene, we can always count on Lorene. Every week she sends one in.
Love her. I love her so much.
Hi, this is Lorene Barden.
Hi, Lorene.
I'm going to read a really bad ad. The ad is titled Beautiful, but with two B's, Be Beautiful Pal Ready to Start. And the whole ad is in all caps. I have a four-year-old gentle ready to start. He is about 15 to 15.1 hands. He is selling grade. I do have both his parents. He is still a stud. His dad is Peppy Sand Badger Bloodlines. Only reason for selling is due to my health. He will make someone a great horse. He is very gentle, does not act study, can be pastured with geldings. Please calls only as I have no internet. Thank you.
Well, if they had no internet, how did they post this ad?
True.
Just asking. Thanks. Have a good day.
That gave me great satisfaction hearing her yelling in that accent.
Oh, my God. I love it. Love it so much. Carissa sent in the next one. She said it's from Facebook. Look, by the way, Lorene, can you message them and say, gild that, please? Thank you. From Facebook, Lakota is a gilded 13-year-old who... Oh, there's no punctuation. Lakota is a gilded 13-year-old who is been broke to ride and need someone who know what they're doing. Makoto's father is Sapphire and Arabian dressage champion horse.
Who's Makoto? What? I thought it was Lakota. Who's Makoto?
Makoto. Well, they're selling him too.
Oh,
I don't know.
So confused. All right,
God.
Ellen.
Sent... How are you going to read this one?
I don't know. Ellen's. I have no idea. Ellen sent this one in, and it's our trailer of the week. And let me just read the top part. 1990 bumper pull two-horse straight load. Awesome homemade two-horse straight load. New flooring, rewiring, almost new tires, bearings, B-A-R-I-N-G-S, were just packed. It's homemade and can be registered, and you can get a license for it with a bill of sale. Has a tax storage area, too. And then
no, you can't just get a license for it with a bill of sale. You cannot. Carry on.
Well, then it goes what it's great for, and it uses 1,000 emojis, literally. It's great for sheep with about 25 sheep emojis, goats, horses, cows, pigs, llamas, alpacas, unicorns, zebras, dragons, monkeys, camels, and deer. Now, I think the monkeys are going to crawl out the windows, to be honest, because the windows are open. But it's a perfect four-horse trailer, which it is not. It's a two-horse trailer.
But you can haul 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 goats, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 7 sheep, or 11 horses, or 6
now,
cows.
And I think they're lying here because it says you can haul 8 dragons. And you're not going to fit one dragon in this trailer.
Yeah,
really
no.
Not.
No, it's not going to happen. All right, lots of emojis.
Lots of emojis.
Amanda!
And by the way,
the
trailer itself, it is very homemade. It is very homemade.
I don't think that that's going to hold anything, to be fair. Amanda says, sent for sale 2 gated horses. Now, remember, Amanda is not the one who wrote it. She's the one that found it and sent it to us. These horses were bought sight unseen by my husband after falling in love with them in a sale video made by someone with excellent editing skills.
Throw the husband under the bus.
Domino, the pretty one. 12-year-old grade Foxtrotter gelding. He looks 12 on the outside, and the 4 mentioned videos say he's 12, but his teeth say otherwise. Let's just say he's old. He rides like a cart horse, turns left, woes, sort of.
By the way, anytime they say they're 12 in an ad, I'm always suspicious, because that's the age that people use when they don't think you know how to read teeth.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Because 12 is kind of in that nondescript
part of the shady area. Yeah.
Jewel, 8-year-old grade SSH mare, buddy sour, barn sour, stands tied, goes through mud and water, often takes a short break to enjoy a splash in mud and water.
be prepared. Both are very good at eating. I can forward you the Oscar-worthy video, which got me into this mess, so you can fall in love with them, too.
Are they still married, those two, do you think? Or has the husband been kicked out?
I mean, that's the follow-up question is... what do we do now?
Husband's never allowed to buy a horse, I can tell you that. Chelsea sent this one in. This is unusual. Need help catching my horse. This is in Cheyenne. Willing to hire someone to catch my horse. We boarded him across from LCCC 3 months ago and have not been able to catch him since. Give me a call.
Oh, my gosh.
There you go, Jamie. You need to go up and help him. They're in Cheyenne.
I'd love to. Cheyenne's beautiful. Lois sent in the next one. Actually, do you want to read the next one too?
And Lois sent this one in. 5-year-old quarter horse mare, unbroke, $1 in Nevada. I have a sweet QH mare that I had gotten to use for breeding, as she is has beautiful conformation.
She's breading, by the way.
Oh, breading. Oh. Like a pork chop. She's good with her feet. Leads and has been worked in the round pen a few times, but she's not broke. I will give her to the right home and will deliver her at no charge. Oh, my God.
Oh, just get her the hell off my property.
That's always bad. This horse needs breaded. And why do we breed the bad ones?
Oh, my God. She has beautiful confirmation.
Yeah, really.
She's
a complete a-hole, but she has beautiful confirmation.
Why do they care if she's not brought, if they're going to use her for whatever? Probably because she's not.
Remember, we're not supposed
bred.
To analyze the ads in a
That's
serious
true,
way.
That's true. True. Sorry. My bad. Beautiful mare and cute bay pony mule for cheap. And this is in Tennessee Ridge, Tennessee. Oh, my God. That is some country ass Tennessee. Let me try to do what I can, because that's some either southern. This mare's name is no punctuation here. The mare's name is Ginger. She is 7 years old. She has been rode, but a long time ago. She's very gentle and very loving and easy to catch. And she also has good feet, built like a tank. We're asking $250 OBO. The bay pony mule is gelded, and he is very sweet, but he is shy at first.
Aren't
was
they all?
Told. Was told that he worked when we bought him, but we have not worked him. However, we have rode him, and he rides fine, but he's very quick. He is 8 years old. Not stupid about his ears or nothing. Oh, my God. That's an actual sentence. Not stupid about his ears or nothing. His name is BB. We are asking $125. We will trade both for a good working four-wheeler. Do not call unless you're serious, and we ain't going to hold it for nobody. Thanks.
They bought the animals to get around the farm, and now they're settled for a four-wheeler.
Let's just get a four-wheeler. Yeah. That'd be easier. Yeah. These horses don't do nothing.
These horses are pain. Joanne sent the following one. A beautiful horse for $1,100. Girl horse. Not fixed as far as I know.
Oh, my God.
It's a girl horse.
Stop.
Not fixed as far as I know. Very active and can run all day. Have about 2 weeks of food left and would like to get her gone before then. But don't send hate emails. I will buy more if I run out. I was just going to comment. If you take her before then, you get the leftover food, too. Well, good to know. Dark brown all over except on leg at bottom is tan. There you go. It's a good girl horse, Jamie. What are you arguing
it's
about?
It's probably got a white stocking, but they haven't bathed the horse in forever, so it's tan. It's not white anymore. Okay, this one was sent in by Nancy, Jenna, Gina, Suzanne, and also Chantel and Charlotte sent ads in. This one's kind of long, but it's totally worth it. Do you remember Honky Tonk Bianca Donk?
Oh, yeah. We've done ads for this one about 6 times, right?
So it would seem. And here's the ad that's currently for Bianca. Someone come get this mother effing donkey and the hoodlum gang she keeps acquiring. This donkey is the herpes of this ranch, y'all. She won't stay gone. If you don't know, and let's be real, if you don't, you've been living under a rock. Who this is? This idiot is Miss Honky Tonk Bianca Donk, the world's most useless donkey. guardian of nothing, singer of obnoxious songs, eater of everyone's time and money, this worthless animal came to me in 2015 when I decided I was going to treat myself with a donkey. Spoiler, it was a horrible idea. Turns out this fine piece of donk-eared flesh was not only bottle raised, but brought up by a couple carrot stick wielding Pirelli people who apparently taught her nothing except that a lead rope should cost $97 and a piece of your soul. She has no personal space. This animal believes she is a part of you. She believes you birthed her. You are her mother, and she will stop at nothing to try to climb back inside you, four hooves and all. This donkey might be the dumbest animal alive. And I'm not talking, is this chicken Jessica Simpson dumb? I'm talking window licking. I will call him George Dumb. Her willpower to end up on this ranch is mind-boggling or horrifying, however you want to paint it. She's like the donkey version of Taken, except she doesn't have a particular set of skills, but she will find you, and she will probably kill you. Hashtag, just call her Neeson. Anyways, back on track. I digress. This freaking donkey has ended up back on this ranch four times now. First time, I tried to find her a family to love her. Why? Because she's useless, afraid of cows, which turns out is a real buzzkill when you buy the idiot as a herd guardian. She is returned after the genius family that took her in, filled her full of treats, then got mad after she bit their little crotch goblin. Sorry, bro. I warned you this wasn't a pet for kids. Buy a hamster next time. Second time, I set out to find her a lover. Straight up, fancy don't let me down style. There were even shirts made. She comes back with a zebra lover and a hairy-ass wild donkey friend named Jenny, who, surprise, both ended up being freaking stolen. Y'all, I was harboring stolen exotics like I'm some sort of El Chapo gang of the underground ass smuggling ring because of a mentally retarded donkey. Zeke the zebra ended up living here a year, and Jenny has never left. Third time. Well, that one's kind of a mulligan. The people that had her moved, so she came back again. And this time takes the cake. I ship this moron and her appendage, Jenny, off to Zebras R Us for an arranged marriage to a zebra in May. That's Dominique's place.
Yes.
Straight up, third world country style, I traded her for a duck and two chickens. Her dowry wasn't real big, only to get a message last night. Her and Jenny are about to have babies. Y'all, that math does not add up. Cue Maury. Sorry, Stephen, you are not the father. There is no "the baby's just premature" excuses to be told here. Somewhere 13 months ago, she pulled on her Walmart cowboy boots, put on a plaid shirt with some shorts, and went to the county fair where she made some really poor life choices with some dude drinking PBR wearing a bodacious buckle from Cavender's. Now we have a bastard something to do any day now. Is it a donkey, a mule, a dragon? I don't know. Just call the baby Jon Snow, because this is some Game of Thrones BS up in here, and whoever takes her next, I'm changing my number and moving, y'all.
I want to get Dominique's version of this.
So Dominique takes these animals in and they go like, "Hi, let's see if we can get them pregnant." No, they're already pregnant. Oh God. Jon Snow.
We have to have this person on the show. Do you think they're as funny in person? Sometimes they're not as funny in person as when they write.
I think we need to get Dominique on to talk about it.
Because she'll know the whole story.
She'll know the story.
Dominique, if you're listening, we want to talk to you. Get back to me.
We need you.
Well read, by the way. Well read.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for Really Bad Ads. Remember, we're playing for three packs of three bars of soap each. So you're definitely going to want to make sure that you get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. You can go to shop.heelsdownmag.com to buy the soap today if you don't want to wait or if you need a gift. This is going to be the ultimate gift for trainers at Christmas. What better way to say you smell than with soap? So that's it. We're heading out for the weekend. We're going to be back on Monday.
All right. Spay, neuter, geld.
All right.
I'm going to go take Marvel to her next adoption event.
All right. Good.
Someone take this dog.
Use that soap and wash her up real good.
Maybe I can get the skunk out finally.
That's going to not help her adoptability, smelling like skunk.
It's true.